I want to go right into our lesson this morning. The title of this lesson, I called it The Wise Man. Who wants to be a wise guy? Yes, sir. In a spiritual sense. I don't want to be a wise guy in the carnal sense. But I want to be a wise person, but there's a lot of things that go along with being a wise person. Spiritually speaking, amen, a wise Christian. I want to go to the book of James, chapter 3, verse 13. We'll read a verse while you're standing. James, chapter 3, starting with the 13th verse. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation. I looked up that word conversation, and it goes beyond just speaking. That word conversation in the original Greek language means life. Out of a good life, his works with meekness of wisdom. Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Have you ever known anybody that claimed to be wise or smart but acted foolish? Sure, we all have. I've met some people that tried to cover up their lack of intelligence by trying to make you think they were smart. I've met some like that. Wasn't necessarily a bad person, but just that's the way they were. But I tell you, true wisdom, like James was talking about, can only be measured by the depth of a person's character. It goes much deeper than words. And just like identifying a tree by its fruit, you can evaluate your own wisdom by the way you act. Amen. And because I know foolishness is going to lead to disorder. And confusion. But wisdom, according to James, leads to peace and goodness. The 14th verse, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. The word sensual right there simply means of the world or unspiritual. So what he's telling us, bitter envy and selfish ambitions are inspired by Satan himself. And we have to stay away from that. Don't be drawn in to wrong desires by peers or pressures of society or even some so-called well-meaning Christians. I tell you, some of the worst conflicts that I've ever seen was between members of a spiritual or a body, a church of believers. Seeking God's wisdom will deliver us from the need to compare ourselves with others and to desire what they have. He says they are earthly, sensual, and devilish. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, if I stood here and began to name off every evil work there was, we'd have to take a break and go eat lunch and come back. But he's saying where strife and confusion is and that sort of stuff, every evil work is there. Verse 17, but thank the Lord for this. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. There are eight different things in that one verse that he says that wisdom is that comes from above. Amen. And we're going to have to practice every one of these that's mentioned in this verse if we're going to declare ourselves a wise person. Amen. Verse 18, and the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. In the book of James, he maintained that one cannot separate faith and works. We read that in the first part of James. And he also contrasted true wisdom from the wisdom of this world. And that's kind of what our lesson will focus on today, is about true wisdom, or the truly wise person. First thing, the characteristics of the wise man. The very first thing that a wise man will exhibit is a good conversation. And I'll tell you right now, a wise believer, one that is a soldier of the cross, is the one that's going to work quietly with good conduct. In the New Testament, the word conversation means much more than just speaking. Biblically or scripturally, our conversation is our lifestyle itself. You identify yourself and your lifestyle by your conversation and our attitudes and our life actions. While we need to be people of action, I tell you, we should strive to act righteously and let our conversation betray our Christian attitude and our characteristics. The next thing, characteristics of the wise man, is James mentioned, was meekness of wisdom. And I've talked about this before, the word meekness. The word meekness of wisdom simply refers to the person who has the power to act but will limit his actions to those that are righteous. We talk about this powerful animal is restrained simply by the bit in his mouth and the bridle in the master's hand. I'm telling you today, meekness of wisdom has power, but it is power with restraint. It is power to follow whoever's got the bridle in his hand. Thank God, God has the bridle in his hand. Amen. Meekness of wisdom. Everybody has the power to act any way he wishes. Filled with the Holy Ghost or not filled with the Holy Ghost, you have the power to act any way you wish. To make choices that you want to have any desires that you want to. But the wise person, I'm telling you, knows the only right choices are going to have results of righteous consequences. And I know we've all made poor choices in our day. I have. I'll be the first one to admit it. I have made a mess out of a lot of stuff by the choice that I made. Amen. Furthermore, the Bible talks about the one who needs wisdom simply needs to ask for it. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Upbraideth not is a phrase that simply means without reproach. And it says, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him that ask in faith, nothing wavering. That phrase simply means without any doubt. Nothing wavering, without any doubt. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you're going to let it, your mind waver and have doubt and confusion and wondering, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. That's what the scripture said. Because verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen. We got to have our mind focused on being a wise person. Amen. Wisdom begins with respect for God, righteousness, or right living, and the ability to discern right from wrong. That's what it begins with. God will willingly give us wisdom if our goals are God-centered and not self-centered. We need to make sure of that whatever it is, it's going to be God-centered and not for self. God does not grant ever thoughtless deed or request or selfish request. And asking in faith simply means having confidence that God will align His desires with our purpose and His purpose. We quote that scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Go on and read the other half, for those that are called according to His purpose. Amen. It's all about your desire and purpose lining up with Christ's desires and purpose. The life of Solomon exemplified this in 1 Kings chapter 3. You can read it. And he asked for wisdom and knowledge. And James said a lot of times we just don't ask. All we fail to ask is the reason we don't get it. And God asked Solomon what he wanted. He told him, Lord, I want wisdom to lead these people, and I want knowledge to lead these people. He could have asked for anything he wanted, but he asked for the things that pleased God. And I tell you, God is no respecter of persons. He will grant you your request. If you want wisdom, if you want guidance, He will grant that to you according to His purpose. Amen. And to stabilize your mind, your doubtful mind, your wavering mind, commit yourself wholeheartedly to God. Give it all to God. I tell you, if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. Amen. He has to be Lord of all of our hearts. We know how the tides work and how the winds will drive the sea and the waves and how unsettled and tossed around it is. And if you don't think that this world of the moon and all that doesn't have an effect. I mean, he went across the 210 bridge and all you see is mud flats. You go back across 210 bridge, there's nothing but water everywhere. That water is at the mercy of the tides. And I tell you, we don't need to be like that. We don't need to be like a wind-driven wave tossed around. He says, nothing wavering. Don't be driven around by every wind that blows. I tell you, if you want to stop being tossed around, rely on God's wisdom. Trust that He will give it to you. Godly wisdom. I want to be a wise guy. Amen. Amen. Then all your decisions will be solid and true. The next thing James talked about, he touched on worldly wisdom. As the believer seeks and desires and follows the meekness of wisdom, you will find that a whole plethora of godly possibilities will open up to you. But however, there is another source of wisdom, and that is the wisdom of the world. And there are distinct differences that exist between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. And seeking genuine wisdom and genuine teachers. You can read that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 through 20. It talks about good tree bringing forth good fruit, corrupt tree bringing forth corrupt fruit, and you shall be known by the fruits that you bear. I tell you, when you manifest an attitude of worldly wisdom, true wisdom from above is going to be far from you. It's not going to be a part of your life. And James, he condemned that sort of wisdom with the very strongest possible language, and he described it, as we read a while ago, earthly, sensual, and devilish. Also in worldly wisdom, our attitude comes into play. James, he rebuked bitter envy and strife and jealousy. I tell you, these things are influenced by Satan himself. I tell you, you can have some terrible things happen when strife begins to take place and envy and confusion begins to take place in a body of believers. And I tell you, we see this in our society quite often. I tell you, from muggings and shootings and drive-by shootings and road rage. You see that too, don't you, Brother Terry? Amen. Things can get into a person. And I tell you, he'll inflict bodily harm if he lets it go too far. It's only been about 3 days ago. I'm sure you saw it in the news, in the media. The young man walked into the college campus in the state of Oregon. And last I read, there were 9 dead and a whole bunch injured. I tell you, Satan, when he puts that stuff in a person's heart, he will operate in that person. And he will cause harm and damage and horrible things to happen. And some people believe it stems from a great desire of position, rank, or title. I tell you, there's no place for that in the church. And I like what Brother Baggett said about the cliques. I don't have to say all that again. You heard what he said. So we should cultivate patience and wait on the Lord. Amen. But our Christian people, we should avoid the mindset of attitudes of envy, jealousy, and strife. The next thing is action. A person's attitude always produces corresponding actions. We learn in school, every action has a reaction. And I tell you, when you engage in that sort of activity, there is going to be consequences and an action. James declared that envy and strife results in confusion and evil actions. We just read that in our text. But we should continually seek the leading and the following of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truths. And I think one of the most important words in that scripture is into. I truly believe you can know a truth and not know the truth. You can't tell me everybody that commits a horrible crime doesn't know in the back of his mind at some point in time it's wrong. You know, a lot of them may declare insanity and ignorance and plead all kind of stuff. But I tell you, you can be led into the truth by the Holy Ghost. You can clothe yourself in truth in the Holy Ghost. So we should continually to seek the direction of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus was our example of that very thing. I tell you, he lived in the interest of other people. His focus was outward instead of inward. It wasn't about him. It was about serving and teaching and ministering to people that he came in contact with and to influence them to follow heavenly wisdom instead of abiding by the philosophies of this world. I want to be a wise guy. I want to exercise all of these attributes James talked about in being a wise person. I tell you, if you continually follow the leading of the Spirit of God in your life, you will produce fruit. You can read that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The last thing is heavenly wisdom. James talked about that in the latter part of the verses that we read. And he not only talked about negative aspects of worldly wisdom, but he also focused on the positive attitude and the actions of godly wisdom. And I told you a while ago, he gave us 8 characteristics. And the very first one he said, it is first pure. And I tell you, if we strive for biblical holiness without pure motive, I tell you, it will negate and contradict and erase everything that you do for God. We need to make sure that our motives are pure when we strive for biblical holiness and to be a wise person. The word pure signifies things that are undefiled and innocent in every aspect. Purity is impossible to attain without the Holy Ghost dwelling inside the believer. In the 24th chapter of Luke, he told him, he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And we all know he was talking about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And in the first chapter of Acts, he told them, said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you want the power to overcome or the power to be a wise person and to do these characteristics that I'm fixing to read to you, you got to have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. You have to let the Holy Ghost operate inside of you. And the wisdom of God is like a light that will penetrate darkness. And you know you can have a flashlight and you shine all in the darkness. And as that light begins to hit something, you see a reflection of it. And it shows you the image of what you're looking at. It doesn't pollute the light. You may shine the light on something that is very horrible, very bad, or something that's unsavory. But if you shine the light up, the light's not polluted. It doesn't say, well, I'm not shining anymore. I got a good look at that, and I'm not going to do that anymore. The wisdom of God is like light. It is unpolluted by the things it comes in contact with. It not only frees us from a lot of ceremonial defilement or corporal defilement, but it is the sincere moral and spiritual integrity of a person. Amen. John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I understand that the purification process, folks, is not going to be complete until we see him face to face. Until we see him, after all of this life is over, will our purification process be complete. But knowing what my ultimate goal is, I tell you, it drives me, it motivates me to keep myself pure and holy. I tell you, he required, when he gave instances in the Bible about wedding garments, being without spot and without wrinkle, and be ye holy, for I am holy. Folks, there is no gray area. We are human. We're prone to mistakes and having problems. But I tell you, we have to strive for pure holiness and purity. The next thing he talked about was being peaceable. And James evidently was speaking about peace with others and not just the inner peace that comes from a spirit-controlled life. I tell you, the Christian, the true Christian, not only prefers to be peaceable, but also tries to spread peace among the brethren and the sisters. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's pretty cut and dried. Holiness, according to that scripture, is directly coupled with living in peace. You expect to be holy and you're not living in peace, you're wasting your time. The scripture says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. A right relationship with God leads to right relationships with fellow believers. If you say you have a relationship with God and you don't have a good relationship with your fellow brothers and sisters, you're telling a lie. Amen. If we're going to have a right relationship with one another, we have to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. We have to be peaceable. And we need to pursue peace as we become more and more Christ-like. The next one is gentle. The Greek word for gentle in that scripture is epikos, which means suitable, equitable, fair, mild, and gentle. And this word mostly refers to our outward actions and dispositions toward others. And I was reading this, when I read this scripture, and I was reading about gentle, and I think about people in a conflict. And the scripture says, talks about a soft answer turning away wrath. Remember reading that? And I said, well, all my life I got to believe, and I said, well, maybe a soft answer will calm them down. Maybe a soft answer is what we need to calm us down. When you're in a conflict and you're wanting to lash out, maybe a soft answer to them will calm you down also. We need to learn to be gentle. And one who is gentle will practice moderation and not living in extremes. I'm telling you, folks, you can fall in the ditch to the far right just as you can on the far left. The Bible that I read teaches living in moderation, living for God. And there's a big difference now. Don't confuse that with the Laodicean church in the book of Revelation. That's not what they were doing, living in moderation. They were in spiritual apathy is what they were. And there's a great difference. But we need to learn to be gentle. The next thing, easy to be entreated. And that simply means a Christian ought not be stubborn or obstinate. Anybody ever met a stubborn Christian? But be easy to be entreated means one who will yield readily to others. And my mind goes back to what Brother Baggett said a long time ago. When two billy goats are butting heads, if one walks off, the other one don't have a thing in the world to butt his head against unless he goes to a tree or something. Sometimes we have to walk away. And I've said it over and over again. I've walked away when I knew I was right. But I walked away anyway. I want to be easily entreated. I want to yield to the purpose of God and not my human desires and my fleshly desires. Because I'm telling you, all they're going to do is cry out in self-interest. All your flesh is going to do is want what's best for it or what feeds it. Oh, Lord, let me be easy to be entreated. The fifth thing, full of mercy. One who is full of mercy shows kindness or goodwill toward everybody, the ones that are down and out, miserable and afflicted. And it not only carries that meaning, but it also has the meaning that you want a desire to help somebody that's in that condition. You know, it's one thing to be able to help somebody. It's another thing to just say, boy, I tell you what, I feel sorry for them. I wish they could get some help. We have to give of ourselves, folks. I tell you, we have to give of our time, our talent, our money, whatever we can do to help somebody and be full of mercy. The Bible says when he saw the disciples toiling and rowing during the storm, he came walking on the water to save them and take care of them. I tell you, he will act on your feelings if you need help. He is merciful. Amen. He has compassion. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I'm telling you, Jesus needs workers who know how to deal with other people's problems. And I know a lot of people have problems that you might not have experienced yourself. Yes, it would be difficult to deal with them other than just tell them you love them and you would pray for them and you would help them any way you could. But there are some people that have gone through the same thing that are able to stand by them and say, I know exactly what you're going through and I'm here with you. I want to help you. Extend yourself. Be merciful. Full of mercy. The sixth thing, full of good fruits. And I tell you, we could kind of summarize our Christian life with a few of the following things. Answered prayer, winning souls, manifesting fruit of the Spirit, and giving of yourself and to the church and to the others. And I don't mean to belabor the point. I've said it before. A lot of Christians will equate salvation simply with the message of Acts 2:38. And I'm telling you, that is merely your entrance into the kingdom of God. I've said it many, many times before. That's our birth certificate. That's not your diploma. We have a long way to go after being filled with the Holy Ghost. We have to be good, full of good fruit after receiving the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, it breaks my heart to see people that will come to the Lord and the knowledge and the power of the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name and start a walk and be left by the wayside because there was not good teaching and good discipleship. Even this past week, I've talked to people and heard more than one tell me that I tell you, we just can't get good teaching. That ought not be. I tell you, we need to disciple and we need to train and teach those that have come into the kingdom of God, to help them to grow and to bear fruit. I tell you, the faithful life is the fruitful life. Faithful to God and learning and reading and searching the scripture and being taught by good teachers, that produces a fruitful life. It's not just showing up, but it's growing up into fruitfulness. We have to grow in Christ and produce good fruit. The next thing is without partiality. And the Christian has this quality when he does not show respect of person or favor toward anybody's for self-gain. The last thing is without hypocrisy. And I tell you, I don't lack a hypocrite. I thought about the old saying, old Popeye. Remember Popeye, the cartoon character? He said, I am what I am. If I'm going to be for Christ what he wants me to be, I am what I am. I do not want to be a hypocrite. I do not want to practice hypocrisy. I'm telling you, the Lord condemned the Pharisees and the Sadducees not because what they knew and what they believed. He criticized them because of their hypocrisy. They knew the scripture inside and out. They knew how, but they just didn't practice it. The word hypocrisy, in its original form, refers to the sincerity of a sculpture or piece of pottery that has no wax melted into the cracks. I did not know that. When one would purchase a piece of pottery, he would hold it up to the sun to see if there were any cracks in it and to see if there was any wax in the crack. And if it was not, he declared it sincere. I don't want the Lord to hold me up and let his light shine on me. Uh-oh. There's wax in that crack. That vessel is not sincere. There's hypocrisy there. But James said to be a wise person, it has to be without hypocrisy. You have to be true. So the vessel was said to be sincere or without wax. And I tell you, may we as Christians endeavor to be sincere and without hypocrisy and to just be just what the Lord wants us to be. Amen. If we're going to be a wise person, we have to. When the Christian continues to plant righteousness and sow seeds of peace, I tell you, your life will show to others God's divine wisdom in you, and you will exhibit yourself as a wise person. I tell you, our conduct has to substantiate our spiritual creed. Our conduct has to substantiate our spiritual creed. We have to be without hypocrisy. I'm going to read one last scripture in closing. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. And 14. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Verse 14, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. We need to seek wisdom, folks. It means more to you and to your spiritual walk than anything this world could afford. I tell you, Jesus declared us salt, and he declared us light. Substances that the world cannot corrupt. And we need to let our godly influence show to effect change, not only in our life, but in the lives of those around us. I want to be a wise guy. I want to be a wise man. But Lord, let me continually read and practice these eight characteristics that you gave in the book of James to be a wise person and a wise Christian. God bless you this morning. I love you. Thank you for your kind attention. I hope we taught ourselves a little bit of something about being the kind of Christian we need to be. Amen. We have to take it beyond these four walls, folks, out into the world and let our light shine. God bless you this morning. Take a quick break and be back for our worship service.